For our text, we look to our gospel lesson, but I'm going to just back up a couple of verses because I think they tie in with the beginning verse of our gospel lesson for today, back to verse 32 from our lesson last week. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. This is our text. On September 30th in 1938, Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, returned from Munich, Germany, where he had met with Adolf Hitler, and where he agreed to allow Hitler to occupy the Sudetenland, part of the country of Czechoslovakia. Great Britain had been in an uproar and great concern and fear of the possibility of oncoming war. But Chamberlain now returned in a triumphant move, believing that he had acted decisively to avoid war, and saying in a speech in front of his residence at number 10 Downing Street, "My good friends, for the second time in history, a British Prime Minister has returned from Germany, bringing peace with honor. I believe it is peace for our time." Of course, his words came back to haunt him, but they remind us of the situation that Jeremiah spoke of when he denounced the false prophets who said, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. And Jesus warns us against our human desire for peace, which might cause us to overlook the profound divide between the way of God and the way of the world. Of course, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he alone brings a true eternal peace to those who trust in him. But here he reminds us not to seek peace at any price. Last week's gospel ended with Jesus' sober command to confess his name before the world. Though for the sake of an illusory peace with others, we might be tempted to deny him or to tone down our message, he tells us clearly not to be afraid of people or their threats, but rather to fear God only and to confess his name boldly. One example we see in the world today of people saying peace, peace, where there is no peace, I think are those bumper stickers that say coexist. I'm sure some of you have seen those. The C in the coexist is a star and crescent symbolizing Islam. The O is a peace symbol. The X is the Star of David. The dot on the I has the oriental yin and yang symbol. And the T is a cross symbolizing Christianity. And I'm not sure exactly what the designers of this sticker intended, or necessarily what the people who put it on their bumper intend either. But it seems to me that it is saying that we need to have religious tolerance, and that religious intolerance is the cause of world conflict and a lack of peace. Intolerance is understood as the idea that we should just accept all ideas and beliefs and relinquish any conviction about truth. I think we can all agree that we should seek to live peacefully with people who have other beliefs in the world. But how is coexistence possible? Ever since the fall of man, we see that peaceful coexistence is often difficult, even within families, let alone between people and nations in a world where everyone is crying out, "I want my share, I want my rights, I want power, I want to win." Religious intolerance is just one tip of an iceberg of human pride, selfishness, and self-righteousness let loose in the world. When tolerance becomes suppression of the truth, it leads right back to intolerance. Jesus tells us to love others, even our enemies, but at the same time to boldly confess his name, even in the face of opposition and hostility. Our problem is that for the sake of peace, peace with others, with a desire to please them, we are sometimes tempted to mute our confession and keep our faith under wraps. And in the process, we might end up denying our Lord and Savior. I remember with shame an episode from my own life where I was embarrassed to confess my faith before others. I was an insecure 18-year-old freshman at Michigan State University, living apart from family for the first time. And some fellow students from the Christian organization, the Navigators, wanted to start a Bible study on my floor in the dormitory. Initially, I agreed to host the study in my dorm room. But later, I reneged on my commitment because, sadly, I was embarrassed to be so publicly upfront about my faith and the truth of God's Word in an environment where that was just not the popular thing to do. I'm ashamed of my 18-year-old self, but I know that even since then, I have not always boldly confessed my faith. And I also know that I am not alone. Many of us have kept quiet about God's truth for the sake of maintaining superficial harmony or for fear that a friend or a relative, family member might not like us trying to persuade them to trust in Christ. It's really a sad commentary on our Christian faith and profession when we do this, because we know that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We know that God's Word is the imperishable seed that has given us life, and that Jesus, our Lord, is the way, the truth, and the life. Are we afraid to speak of Him before men? Do we prefer to please others by not rocking the boat when their eternal salvation depends on their hearing and believing the truth of God? The word of truth must not be something that we suppress from our conversation. What a sorry state our society is in when the word of God and His eternal salvation have become taboo in polite conversation. It's no wonder that emptiness, foolishness, and cynicism have filled the void instead. In John chapter 12, we read of how some of the authorities in Jesus' time believed in Him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. They loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And sometimes for you and I, we long to please others. We want to have their favor. And sometimes that seems to matter more than the approval of God. We've been guilty of that also. But there is a price that is too great to pay for peace. If it means denying our Lord Jesus, then it is better to face conflict and rejection. Peace at the price of denying Jesus, hiding our faith from others, being ashamed of the Lord who bought us, is no peace at all. And Jesus warns us sternly that if we deny Him before men, He will also deny us before His Father in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 8, it speaks of how God Himself would be the source of division among His people in words which also prophesied the coming of Christ. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall honor as holy. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel. You see, there really is no middle ground. Our Lord Jesus is either a sanctuary, a refuge, a safe place for us, or He is a stumbling block. To those who turn to Him in repentance and faith, He is a refuge. To those who do not, He is a trap and a snare. Psalm 1, verse 1 says something similar about this great division between those who trust in God and those who turn away from Him. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When the scoffers mock and deride faith in Christ, it is time for those who believe in him to take their stand and confess his name. And sometimes we've failed to do that. And so we turn to our Lord Jesus, to his forgiveness, to his grace, to the fact that on the cross he died for that sin also. The Apostle Peter denied the Lord Jesus on the night of his arrest. You remember that he cursed and swore that he didn't even know Jesus. And yet Jesus forgave him and called him back into his service. And later, after his resurrection, Jesus says to him, "Do you love me, Peter?" And when Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you," then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." How was Peter to feed the Lord's sheep? By speaking to them the precious word and truth of the gospel. And you and I have sometimes kept quiet when we could have shared the word of truth, the gospel which has given us life. Just as for Peter, the grace of our Lord restores us when we turn to him. And his words, "Feed my sheep," mean for us, "Don't withhold the word of life from the ears of those who need to hear it." Let us not be afraid to live out our love for others and for our Lord by pointing them to Jesus and urging them to trust in him. And just as his word has given us life, so also it can bring life to those we know and love. So let us boldly confess his name wherever he leads us. It's only in Jesus that we can find true peace. His righteousness is the firm and solid rock that keeps us safe in this topsy-turvy world of sin and rage against God. His death on the cross is what sets us free from that sin and chaos, even within our own selves. And though we have denied him in ways both great and small, his death also reconciles us to him. Because of the forgiveness he won for us on the cross, we can stand firmly once again on the rock of his salvation. When we lived on the West Coast, I loved to see those enormous waves of the Pacific Ocean crashing against the rocks and cliffs. On the beaches in Oregon, you have to be careful when you're walking in around on near the water's edge because they have what they call sneaker waves. I wasn't familiar with those before we were out there. But all of a sudden, a wave will come up unexpectedly, much higher than you had anticipated. So if you're near the water's edge, you need to be on firm ground. A big rock raised well above the waves keeps you in a firm place even when those big waves come thundering in. And so it is with those who build their lives on Christ, who confess his name. They have peace and security in the midst of this difficult and uncertain world. When Jesus heard Peter's confession of faith, that he was the promised Christ, the Son of God, he said to him, "On this rock, on this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." To have true peace in this world, we must be built on the rock of our Lord Jesus. There's only one place to build, not on ourselves or our best efforts, but on the grace and love of Christ, which is poured out upon the cross. And then we have true peace in the midst of a world of war and false peace. So let us boldly confess his name and trust confidently in his protection and love. Amen.